We continue to look at parables for the summer. And one of the things we see about in the parables is we see grace ingrained in these parables. The one we're looking at today is the one where he talks about the kingdom of God, or as Matthew puts it, the kingdom of heaven. And so when we look at this parable, the parable of the workers in a vineyard, we always look back to the context. Like, why did Jesus tell that story at that time? And if we step back just a few verses, Peter asks an important question. He said, "We left everything to follow you. What will there be for us?" And he meant us, 12 of us who have sacrificed so much. What is it for us? Now, what's interesting is Peter is asking a merit-based question. What do we get? And Jesus said that God blesses those who sacrifice so much. And he talks about how he's getting back 10 times as much. And then Jesus also said, but you will also be blessed in this life and blessed also in heaven. But I could also then imagine Jesus thinking to himself, this is maybe an opportunity for another story. Maybe he said to himself, Peter, I'm a little troubled by your merit lens, that God somehow owes you something. So Jesus said, let me tell you a story. Now this morning, I want you to imagine yourself in the story this way. You show up bright and early. You're dressed for work. You have your lunch pail in hand. You're thrilled when this owner comes into town in his pickup truck. And he has a flatbed in the back part of the pickup truck. And he looks at you without any references, without any resume, without any interview. He says, hey, you and you and you and you, come on, you can go work for the day. I'm going to give you one whole denarius. Now, you were hoping that this would be a day where you get some work. And so you start thinking about this, wow, I'm going to work today, and I'm going to get this one denarius, and you start thinking to yourself, how many bills can I pay? How many meals can I provide for my family? You really needed this job. The first hour is one of those great parts of the day because the sun's not up as high as it is later in the day, and the day is still cool. And then when the sun starts coming up even more, you say to yourself, wow, this is just an amazing, beautiful day. And I'm out here in the vineyards. And as the sun starts going up a little bit higher, you have worked away that you're working in the vineyards where the sun is not beating on you yet because you're kind of covered by some leaves on the vineyards. And you start feeling a connection to the people that you work around you. You start connecting with these people and they're just kind of having a good time, and you're like, wow, this is really nice. I'm working hard, community. And then this is at 6 in the morning when you first started your job. Then around 9 o'clock, you notice that a few more workers headed in. And you take a look at them, you size them up like you always do. Are they going to be good workers or are they going to be bad workers? Are they going to actually work? And so you size them up and you start watching them, and you say, well, yeah, they're not too bad. And then they sort of like kind of gather together with you, and you're all still kind of going along. And then at 12 o'clock, a few more workers show up and get out, and you take a look at them again, and you size them up, and you say, I think they'll be okay. And you watch them, like, they don't do too bad. Then at 3 o'clock, and the sun is just beating down right now, and it's just hot. It's the hardest part of the day around 3 o'clock. And you hear the truck come again, and you look over, and what do you see is some more workers getting out. And these guys are clowns. Oh, that was at least what you think. They're clowns because they get out, they're joking, they're laughing, and they start working in the fields. And you look over to them, and you see them, and they're just having a good time. There's no dirt underneath their nails, and they're just kind of having a good time. And you're thinking, oh, what are these guys up to? This is just ridiculous. You work the next hour, it's hot. And then all at once, at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, one more hour till the day is done, And you look over, and here comes a truck again. It pulls up with four or five guys, and they jump out. And you're like, what, 5 o'clock? And you look at these guys, like, what are they doing? And they get out, and they go into the vineyard, and they just sort of stare, and they look around, and they do a little bit of picking, take care of a few little things. But you could have done that in 3 minutes, what took them an hour. And you're frustrated. You're like, these guys, what are they doing? Well, 6 o'clock comes around. It's time to shut down for the day. And now it's payday. The foreman calls, I gather all the guys together. And of course, you who have worked since 6 o'clock in the morning, what do? You step in the front of the line, right? You step up and you're like, okay, I'm ready for my pay. And all at once, the foreman does something that seems odd to you. He calls the people that were there at 5 o'clock that worked for 1 hour, and he calls them up front to pay them. And you watch, and you're like, I wonder what they're going to get. They shouldn't even get paid. And he walks over, and the foreman hands these 3 or 4 guys 1 whole denarius. And you're mad for a second, but then the next sentence, you're like excited, and you're like, I need to do math. See, 1 denarius for 1 hour times 12 denarius. Wow, this is awesome. Hey, call the wife, tell her to get on Google, book that vacation to Paris. All right, go look for a new carriage. I know we can afford that now. It is going to be a great day. Because after all, you can do math just like anyone else can. 12. Then you watch, and then the ones that arrived around 3 o'clock, they got paid. And you're watching again, and they got 1 whole denarius. It's like, well, yeah, they didn't really do that much either. So then you watch, and the ones that showed up at 12 o'clock, you see that, and they got 1 denarius. And now you're starting to get a little nervous. You're like, what's this going to work out? And then the ones that showed up at 9 o'clock, they got 1 denarius. And then there you were. You had the most sweat, the most dirt, the most time put in, and you stand up there, and that foreman walks over and gives you 1 whole denarius. And you wanted to spit in his face, let's be honest. How in the world is this possible? You're frustrated. You're tired. See, as I think about this parable, in our North American culture, for us North Americans, this parable is rarely seen as good news. In other parts of the world who read about this parable sometimes can be really good news. It depends, I think, whether you have been used to being first or not. And it also depends on how much you think you're owed. I remember hearing a conversation with some church people at a market. And I knew who they were. They didn't know who I was. And I was sitting at a table, and they were sitting there. And these were people who I know had been at this church for a long time. And don't try to figure it out. They're no one from here. It's a different church. So don't get your mind going. And I heard one of them say, start talking about church life. It's always interesting to kind of hear the people talk about church life. And, I have to admit, I kind of perked up when they said a few things. And they start talking about church. And I heard one of them say, I was one of the founding members of our church. The other says, well, I wasn't a founding member, but I was there quite a long time. And I don't like how things are going right now. And they started talking, and they talk from this idea of their merit-based church, that they should have more sway, more honor, more entitlement, more influence because they were at the church longer than anyone else. In fact, what I heard that day was this, sort of the same thing as the parable. I've been there longer. I deserve 12 denarii. But see, it's not just church people. I understand that in my own life. I mean, understand that perspective. See, what would happen if you got in line at Target, and the line is long, And the owner came out, the manager came out of the store and says to the people standing in the back part of the line, says, hey, why don't you guys just come up to the front of the line here? Could you guys please just step back? How would you feel? You wouldn't feel very well, would you? You would question it. You'd be, I've been here longer than anyone else has. I've contributed more. I look how much stuff I have in my cart versus the other one. And so in this story, we have an owner, the foreman, the owner, who doesn't get it. And it's maddening. This parable is about God's generosity. And we see two things in the parable, one obvious and one not so obvious. The most obvious thing that we see is that the master's generosity. Now we see generosity, but some people see stinginess. It depends how long they worked and how much they think they should have earned. The less obvious thing in the parable is the master's naivete. Who would think that those guys would work for 12 hours are not going to resent the master? I mean, it was set up for failure. But it happens to us also. Could you imagine you're in the doctor's office and you've been waiting for this doctor's office? It was probably a dermatologist because it takes forever to get in there. And you finally got your dermatologist appointment and you're waiting there in the office, waiting for a appointment that you finally get to see the doctor. And the doctor walks out, and the person who had just happened to walk in the door didn't have an appointment. And the doctor says, whoever just walked in here with no appointment, yeah, that's me. Come with me. You're next. Are we supposed to cheer this? Or you work at your job for 30 years, and the next hire is straight out of college, and the boss asks you to move out of your office to make room and announces that this novice gets the same pay. He gets perks and holidays that took you 30 years to accumulate, and a signing bonus to boot. And you're supposed to say, hip, hip, hooray? I don't think so. Who thinks this is a generous parable and a story? How naive can the owner be? God, does he not get this story? I think there's two keys to this parable. The first key is found in verse 8. It's the owner's instruction to his foreman. He says, pay them their wages, beginning with the last one hired and going on to the first. Now see, this is crazy. We could have avoided all kinds of conflict in this story if the master would have told the foreman to do things a little differently. He could have avoided all of this if he would have paid the ones that had been there for 12 hours and gave them their one denarius, and they would have walked out the door and out through, and they would have been happy campers because they got what they wanted, one denarius, and they walked out the door and went there. And then the other ones would have got theirs, and everyone would have walked away happy, none the wiser. And there would have been a chorus of thanksgiving rather than a complaint as the story plays out. But God, the owner, starts with the guy who showed up last and allows this story to play out into the minds of the hearers and for us today. It seems like it's a story that is calculated by the owner to create bitterness. Is that the thrust of the story? Or is it something else? Or could it be, if we turn this story upside down and look at it, could this be an invitation for us to be thankful of a different order? That could it be that we are thankful and give thanksgiving to the nature of the owner being God? See, the kingdom that he describes is about a generosity on a scale and of kind that the world has never seen or understood. The world's generosity is always about merit-based. It's always about earning. It's always tied to a bonus system. It's always tied to what I deserve. And the world's generosity suggests that I actually have this coming to me. It's a merit-based system. You deserve better. You work harder. You get more. We are wired for that. But what I've noticed is this, that generosity, and the word we throw around as generosity, is rarely generosity. Most of the time, it's almost always a reward. It's not granted to some in response to some goodness in the recipient. It's rarely not a reward. And the second thing, in verse 15, the owner makes a comment to the embittered laborers. He says, "Don't I have a right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I'm generous?" I think what we find out in this parable is that this story is radically owner-centered story. It's not about us. It's about the owner. It's about the owner's rights and nature and privilege. I think what Jesus was telling the story for those hearers and for us today is that if you think that the kingdom of God is about you and about your rights and what you're owed and what you deserve, you'll likely end up bitter. Because some of us, or maybe most of us, when we read this story, we place ourselves again in the one that shows up at 6 o'clock in the morning and works hard till 6 o'clock at night. Few of us hear this parable and think, that guy that showed up last, in the last hour, that's me. The least undeserving. No, most of us want to join the chorus at payday when we identify with the aggrieved workers. So the story is not about us, whether we show up late or whether we show up early, where we work a lot or work a little. The story is about the owner's generosity that flows not in response to what we have done, but out of his rights and out of the nature of who he is. It's just who God is. So the question is, can you see that in God? Will you rejoice in that? I think there's two original words in Greek words that are important here for us to understand completely this story. The first one is translated as generous in verse 15. Are you envious because I'm generous? And this word generous is only time it's translated generous in any time in the Bible. The other times it's translated good. And when he says it's translated good, this word, this little Greek word means good. It means that good is inherently good, good in of itself. Goodness that does not ebb and flow out of our circumstances, our mood, or worthiness of others. But good by nature. And so there's this goodness by the owner, God, inherent in his character. Regardless or independent of the action of others. He's good whether you've earned it or not. And then the second word, little Greek word that's translated in this thing, are you envious because I'm generous? The word envious. It's a tricky little Greek word that is used, a compound word. Literally, it means this: the evil eye. So if you would translate it to say, are you giving me the evil eye because I'm generous? Because I'm good? Have we maybe missed the owner's generosity? Have we maybe put ourselves in this story? Maybe we're like Peter, and we asked merit-based questions, and that somehow we think it's all about what we deserve. And God flips it upside down, and Jesus tells these stories to rock their worlds. Because if we look at this story honestly this morning, and we put ourselves in this story will have two responses. Either it will make you bitter, or it will bring you much joy. And that's purely dependent on what you think the nature of God is. You can see it as stinginess, or you can see it as God's goodness, independent of what you earned. So the kingdom of heaven has a generous owner who is deeply good to each one of you. Not because you've earned it. Remember, it's not about you. It's about him. And he loves to give. I hope you can see that. So we can have grace, God's goodness, or we can live in this merit, I deserve it, it's all about me world. Jesus stands in the middle and gives us a decision. How we understand this story might just be a mirror into our hearts.